Blast from Our Past Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown. Here are your hosts, Adam and John Spees.
Welcome to Throwback Trivia Takedown, a no-holds-bar trivia match between two contenders fighting for nostalgic glory. I'm your host, Adam Spees.
I'm your co-host, John Spees.
Today, we have got a seasoned veteran taking on a first-time combatant in the TTT arena. Our first contestant. One, he's like a dream come true. Two, just want to be with you. Three, it's plain to see that you're the only one for me. I'm talking about Brian McKnight Harris. I don't know if McKnight's your middle name, but I think it should be. What's up, Brian?
Brian McKnight reference. That was, I did not see that coming. And even say, I was like, those sound like song titles.
So, welcome back to the show. Hadn't had you on for a hot little minute, but it's good to hear from you. Please remind everybody about yourself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Harris. I'm from Hartford, Connecticut. I am a trivia content creator for two companies. My own company, which is Brains and Brews Trivia, and also Bar Rated Entertainment. We do everything in the Connecticut area. Western Mass, as far as, you know, all your trivia games and just fun entertainment. And we also do some other stuff too.
All right. We love trivia here on Throwback Trivia Takedown. And our other contestant for the day, she's gassed up and revving for a win. She's ready to transfer her trivia force from the cylinder to the crankshaft of victory. It's Kristen the Piston Pilot. Hey, Kristen.
I was wondering where you were going to go with that.
That's what a piston does. A piston, it transfers force from the cylinder to the crankshaft. That's what it does.
Fun story. You're telling that to an engineer.
So. I am not trying to mansplain. Wikipedia told me because I was like, oh, this might be fun. So there you go. Please tell everybody else what you do and your life as an engineer.
So I am Kristen. I am in Northern Virginia, specifically in Ashburn. My cats are going crazy in the background, so I keep looking over at them as they are apparently decided today and right now is the time to have the zoomies. And I'm an aerospace engineer out here, so that's what I do pretty much all the time.
All right. Well, very cool. Now let's explain our rules.
Entering the ring are two contestants who will engage in three rounds of head-to-head trivia. Here are the rules. Round one consists of 10 questions in different pop culture categories focused on a decade that will be randomized. If you answer incorrectly, your opponent has the chance to steal. And the categories are movies, music, television, toys and games, sports, fashion, slang, news and politics, literature, and food. Round two consists of the same 10 categories, but this time your opponent gets to pick your category. Each correct answer gives you 10 points. In the final round, you may bid up to as many points as you've earned before answering the final two questions. The categories for the final questions will be picked by the contestants, but the decade will again be randomized from those remaining. You must get both answers correct to earn your wager. Now it's time for a takedown.
All right, now that we know the rules of our little show, I want to get to know Brian and Kristen just a little bit better. And because I mentioned pistons and crankshafts, it got me thinking about cars. And I want to know, what is your favorite classic car model of all time?
Oh, Oldsmobile 442.
Gonna have to look that one up.
Specifically 67.
Okay. Wow.
Red convertible.
Wow, okay. He knows.
I have one in my garage. It's my father left it to me.
Okay.
And
yes.
I don't have the ability or the know-how to fix everything myself without YouTube or someone helping me, but it's a work in progress.
Sure. Very cool.
I don't know where I'd be without YouTube, if I'm honest.
Mm. Yeah. YouTube and Google, man. Mm-hmm. I just have a whole bunch of encyclopedias just looking everything up.
Yep.
just like mom used to do and I used to do, hell.
Classic car. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I like the look of the old Mustangs, but if you ask me a year, I couldn't tell you. I just know the older ones before, like the 80s, were pretty good looking. And the current ones are very weird looking, particularly the electric ones are very weird looking. Mm. So I will just say generically a Mustang. So.
All right. We have got generically a Mustang. versus the 1967 Oldsmobile 442. And I would say in general, I would pick a Mustang. But Brian went so specific. He had such a good answer, and he's got a personal tie to it. I got to go Brian on this one because he just
finally won a coin flip.
He kind of gave the more specific and better answer and more heartfelt, you know, heartfelt answer on that one. So how about that? All right, Brian, that means you get to pick first. What category do you want to start things off in this episode?
Okay. Let's start with toys.
Okay.
Oh, almost went right off the table. We're going to start off in the 90s.
All right. Introduced in 1995, in what rhyming game would players stick their fingers up a guy's nose to pull out boogers? When they picked the wrong one, his eyes would pop out, and he'd flip his lid, and his brains would fly out.
Ugh. What? This is a game? I think I kind of remember this. you put your finger, put a finger in the nose, and pull out. It's not going to be winner, winner, pick up. No. Let's say booger sugar. Oh, that's that is.
Oh, a little taste of that booger sugar. And that is definitely not correct.
At least it rhymed.
At least it rhymed. Kristen, can you steal?
No, but I'm going to go with rain drain because it rhymes, and that's really all I got.
That does also rhyme, at least, but it also is incorrect. So yeah, this is a very freaky kind of tabletop game. It's just basically a bust of a head, and it looks awful. It is Gooey Louie. Gooey Louie.
I just thought of another one. I got the snot. I'm like,
that'd be good too. Yeah. Gooey Louie is what I was looking for. All right, no points awarded. Kristen, we are over to you.
I guess I will go food.
Okay.
And we're stepping back to the 80s.
Burger King joined the fast food breakfast game in 1983 with the introduction of what breakfast item consisting of a meat, egg, and cheese served on a French pastry?
Was that the croissant sandwich?
Croissant sandwich, if you're plebeian, the croissant witch, if you are, you know, high evolutionary like myself, yes, the croissant sandwich, high evolution. I don't know what I was trying to get at. You are correct. It is definitely the croissant witch, the croissant sandwich, whatever we call it. All right, Brian, we're back to you.
Let's do TV.
Okay.
We're stepping back once again to the 70s.
Okay, bit by bit going back. And we've got a question from Chris Ossie. Thank you, Chris. The Mary Tyler Moore Show famously spun off three other TV series. Rhoda and Phyllis were two of them. What was the name of the third one starring Ed Asner?
Ed Asner. I know what he looks like. I know who he is. Is that a one word title? It's not Maud. I'm going to say Maud.
Maud is incorrect. Kristen, can you steal?
Nope. 70s TV with Ed Asner as a spinoff. I have absolutely no idea. That is a black hole for me.
All right. This is a show. It did run for 5 seasons and 114 episodes. It was Lou Grant. Lou Grant was the name of that show. All right.
That sounds like someone that plays for the Pistons.
Never had a chance there. I feel okay that I never had a chance. Yeah.
All right, we are back to Kristen. What category would you like to take?
I will do news and politics.
Okay.
And your decade is the 2000s.
What record producer and creator of the Wall of Sound style of music producing was arrested for the 2003 for the murder of Lana Clarkson? He was convicted in 2009.
Oh, this annoys me. I can see his face. He looks creepy, which is why I remember who he is. And I'm not going to pull his name, and this is going to really upset me when I hear it. Yeah, I'm not going to get it. I'm 100% certain Brian's going to get it, though.
Let's not be too sure. There's a name in my head, but I was like, it's not what I'm thinking, because that's an orifice.
That's an orifice.
Specter, not sphincter, specter.
All right, what are we going with here, Brian?
Phil Spector.
Phil Spector is correct.
That's who it was.
I kept thinking sphincter.
He is a bit of a sphincter.
He looks kind of like.
Yeah, he does.
He's so creepy looking.
Wicked creepy looking.
Absolutely. Brian, you got the steal. What category would you like?
Speaking of music producers, let's do music.
Okay.
We're going way back to the 50s.
The Royal Teens reached number 3 on the Billboard Hot 100 in 1958 with what song about a redundant revealing clothing item?
Itsy bitsy teeny weeny polka dot yellow. Itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini.
Itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini is incorrect.
That's a long answer to be wrong.
Well, that was my guess. So, gosh, what else could it be if it's not an itsy bitsy teeny weeny? No, I cannot steal.
No, stealing?
I have absolutely nothing here. Just a black hole. I'm definitely like, I'm not usually this bad at trivia, but it's 100% true. Start recording and things happen.
Absolutely. All right. Well, it's redundant because it is the same word used twice. And it's the song goes, who wears short shorts?
Short shorts.
He wears short shorts. Yep.
Short shorts.
That's what I was looking for.
That's a good one.
All right.
That's a good one.
All right, Kristen, we're back to you. And we still have movies, fashion, slang, sports, and literature.
This is going to bite me because I'm sure you're going to ask a comic question, but let's go with literature.
Okay. It's possible. I do ask those questions from time to time.
Decade is the 90s.
Who debuted in 1992 in the first issue of his self-titled ongoing series created by Image Comics co-founder Todd McFarlane? He was one of the publisher's early franchise characters, and at the height of his popularity had a live-action film adaptation starring Michael Jai White.
Michael who?
Jai White.
I said it was going to be a comic question, didn't I? I kind of called
it. You did. You called it. But you have to read comics. Just like you read a book.
But is literature just about reading? All right, so this is the 90s. Mm-hmm. And there was a live action movie. I'm not gonna possibly get there. I have no idea.
All right. Brian, can you steal?
Yeah, I can. I actually can. I'm very excited. So I've never read these comics. I remember my cousins had them when they first came out, but I've definitely seen the movie. I've definitely played this character, and I think Soul Calibur. This is Spawn.
This is Spawn. That's really cool that you have voiced Spawn before. Very cool. So, all right.
Oh, no. I literally just played the video.
You played the video? I thought you meant voiceovers,
but.
You played, you played this one. Spawn is one of the coolest, like, looking comic book characters of all time.
There's a lot of, like, cool little attributes.
Yes, so. All right, Brian getting the steal, and what category would you like to take?
Let's go to slang.
Okay.
And that's also the 90s.
All right. What two-word phrase would be said if you knocked someone out without taking a hit? It gained popularity thanks to an infamous 1992 fighting game.
No. Hey. Can you say it again, please?
What two-word phrase would be said if you knocked someone out without taking a hit? It gained popularity thanks to an infamous 1992 fighting game.
Now I got it. Lawless victory.
Flawless victory is correct. Of course, Mortal Kombat.
I almost said finish him, and I was like, but no hits. I got it.
There you go.
That was a different 1992 video.
No.
Yeah. Same game.
Different phrase. All right, Kristen, we are back to you, and you can still choose between movies, fashion, and sports.
Oh, all my best categories, let me tell you. let's go sports with a question I'm sure I'm not going to be able to answer.
Me neither. And your decade is the 70s.
Oof, definitely not.
A small 5'8", 180-pound running back for Ohio State from 1973 to 1976 became the first player to win the Heisman Trophy twice. I say, what small? 5'8", yada, yada, yada.
Yep, I've got no idea. Football is not a thing I do.
Are you going to take a guess? Yeah, yeah. Think about it.
I have no idea who won the Heisman in the 70s or who played for Ohio State. And as a Maryland fan, Ohio State is one of those teams I am now required to dislike.
It's very easy to dislike them.
So I've heard. Got a lot of friends who went to Michigan, so that helps. I got nothing. I really have no idea.
All right, we're going to move over to Brian.
As my anger boils as someone that lived in Columbus for 5 years to hear you guys bash the Buckeyes. First of all, how dare you? That's into that. Second of all,
yeah. Go Dogs.
It's a better confectionery than it is a football team.
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually a useless nut, the actual Buckeye.
Yeah, true.
Number 45 is Griffith, Archie Griffith.
I'm gonna get it's Archie. I think it's Archie Griffin.
Griffin.
No, I'm giving it. You were there. It's Archie Griffin. So Sorry. You're right there. All right. Brian gets a steal, and you get to pick between movies and fashion.
Oh, we didn't do fashion yet?
No, I don't think so.
Because I'm stupid, that's why. Let's do movies.
Okay.
Don't be 50s. I
gotcha. It's not the 50s.
All right.
It's the 2000s.
Oh, okay. Wow, a lot of comic book stuff. 2008's Iron Man kicked off the Marvel Cinematic Universe. What actor thought he'd be part of this film Empire playing James Rhodey Rhodes, but his hustle and flow only lasted for the first one, as he was replaced by Don Cheadle in all subsequent films?
Where can I remember his name right now? Literally just said the... Oh my god, hold on. Terrence Howard, jeez.
Terrence Howard, oh,
God,
geez.
That felt really bad. I couldn't remember his name. I'm like, Maine?
It's correct. Awesome. All right. And that's going to leave us with fashion for Kristen.
And she gets the 90s.
Launched in 1993, what clothing and apparel store was aimed at girls and young women? It shares a name with Catherine O'Hara's daughter in Beetlejuice.
Oh,
93. You said teens and young women?
Yes.
The Beetlejuice angle isn't helping me. I was literally talking about that movie like 2 days ago and said, I should rewatch that, and I have not done it yet. So that does not help. But I'm going to go with Claire's because that's where I spent a lot of my teen years at. So Claire's.
Claire's is incorrect. Brian, can you steal?
I thought it was Claire's. What is her name? Can you repeat the question? I'm sure you're talking about Winona Ryder's character.
Launched in 1993, what clothing and apparel store was aimed at girls and young women? It shares a name with Catherine O'Hara's daughter in Beetlejuice.
Name's obviously not Claire. What's a store name for young girls? Justice
is incorrect. John, do you know this one? Were you a big shopper at this place?
I've never shopped at this place, nor did I even know that it exists, but I do know what the name of that character in Beetlejuice is, and it's Lydia.
Oh. Did I f*** up and make a terrible question here? Oh, it's maybe. Catherine O'Hara. Sorry, maybe I reread that. It's Catherine O'Hara. I totally misread that.
Oh, is that her name? That was her name.
Catherine O'Hara's character.
Yeah.
Not Catherine O'Hara's daughter's character.
I'll be honest with you, I still wouldn't have got that.
Oh,
correct.
Catherine
O'Hara.
Neither one.
I totally. But if I said daughter, I totally inserted that. I don't know why. It's Catherine O'Hara's character. Yeah.
Okay.
Would anybody have got that if I started over again with Kristen?
Nope.
Nope. No? Okay, then I'll keep the question. John, do you know this one then still?
Then it would be Delia, wouldn't it?
It is Delia's. Delia's.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that sounds more
good. Yep, I have heard of that store.
Okay. Whew, man. Botched it. All right.
Everyone heard daughter, right? I'm not an idiot. We all heard daughter, right?
You 100% heard daughter.
Okay. Oh, all right. Well, until I edit it out, and then no one else hears it except for y'all. All right, as I try to save face, John, what is the score update?
All right, well, Brian's got a little bit of a lead, but I know Kristen's going to make a comeback in round two. Brian's got 50, and Kristen has 10.
Yep, absolutely. But there is a definite good chance for a comeback. And as Brian went first in round one, that means, Kristen, you get a pick for Brian to start off round two.
Well, it is clear to me that Brian loves fashion, so obviously. I'm giving him fashion.
Yay!
And it's the 2000s.
Okay. What Australian men's fashion label was founded in 2008? It apparently was not named after the author of Call of the Wild, but rather the name comes from the brand's desire to emulate designers of England's largest city from the 1960s.
What? Wait, what? That's... Am I going to guess that? Can you repeat the question before I guess? This is going to be a guess.
What Australian men's fashion label was founded in 2008? It apparently was not named after the author of Call of the Wild, but rather the name comes from the brand's desire to emulate designers of England's largest city from the 1960s.
Jack London.
Jack London is correct.
Oh,
so they're trying to steal the fashion from the 60s from London. They're trying to they're jacking London style. And that's how they got the name of Jack London. Had nothing to do with the author.
That seems sus.
I want to say
that's what Wikipedia told me, and I trusted in here.
Wikipedia is never wrong unless you're using it on a school assignment.
Yeah, exactly. They don't trust, even though I think like it's been, you know, proven that it's more trustworthy than a lot of like other text. It's still I can't use it for my
way more than Reddit.
definitely more than Reddit. All right, he got himself some fashion, but Kristen or now Brian, you get to pick for Kristen.
Oh, let's give her literature.
Yeah, could be another comics question.
I'm hoping for it.
And this one's also from the 2000s.
First appearing in the New Avengers number 4 in March 2005, what Marvel Comics character was introduced as the right-hand woman of Nick Fury and would eventually rise to the rank of Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. after Fury was removed from the organization? I swear, I have at least, like, it's a half and half split, I think, this time of comics and regular stuff.
I couldn't even tell you who's in S.H.I.E.L.D. I got nothing. Just let Brian answer this already.
Brian, can you steal?
Probably not. I have an idea because the new Secret Invasion came out, and she's played by Daenerys Targaryen. I don't remember her name. I don't remember anything right now. And she becomes a character, but I don't know if it's the same one. Or am I thinking of, like, Colby from... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Emma Frost. I think that's a person.
Emma Frost is a person. She is a mutant with the X-Men, and that is, or with the Hellfire Club before that. But John, I'm going to kick it to you because I know you know this answer.
I guess I'm wrong.
I'm going to assume this is
that was the one
played by Colby Smulders, Maria Hill.
Yes, Maria Hill is the answer I'm looking for. All right, so no harm, no foul on that one. And Kristen, you have to pick for Brian.
Let's give him sports. Okay.
And he gets the 50s.
In 1951, the NBA's Milwaukee Hawks moved to what city, where Bob Pettit won the first official NBA MVP award, and the team drafted Bill Russell second overall before immediately trading him to the Celtics, who they would lose to in the 1957 NBA Finals. Then in 1968, the Hawks would move to Atlanta. So what?
Oh, Fudge. Milwaukee Hawks. Atlanta Hawks. further east? Did it go somewhere in between? Where did Bill Russell start his career? I don't know. Let's say, shout out to Paul McLaughlin, Pittsburgh.
Shout out to Paul McLaughlin up in Pittsburgh. He's a big Pittsburgh boy. He's given up all his Jersey roots and loves Pittsburgh now. Just kidding. But it is not Pittsburgh. Kristen, can you steal?
Oh, gosh, no. Let me think of a city that had a basketball team in the 50s because, you know, I pay attention to basketball from the 50s. What cities have basketball teams now? Philly has one. When did you... Can you read the clue again?
Sure. In 1951, the NBA's Milwaukee Hawks moved to what city, where Bob Pettit won the first official NBA MVP award, and the team drafted Bill Russell second overall before immediately trading him to the Celtics, who they would lose to in the 1957 NBA Finals. Then in 68, the Hawks would move to Atlanta. So basically, they were at Milwaukee, and then this city, and then Atlanta.
Yeah, I was trying to remember the year that you'd said that helped. I mean, it didn't help because I still don't know the answer, but I'm going to go with Philadelphia.
Philadelphia is incorrect. Now, this is a Midwest city that I don't think there is anybody there now, but they had the St. Louis Hawks. It was St. Louis that was there. So
that sounds familiar now.
All right. No points awarded there either. So that means we are back to Brian picking for Kristen.
Let's give her slang.
Okay. NBC.
It's the 70s.
The 70s. All right. What word first popped up in the 1970s in the world of horse racing, where the term was used to describe a horse racing bet in which the first place, second place, and third place winners were chosen in the correct order? It would slangly come to mean any group of three usually desirable things.
Oof. It's to help if I knew anything about horse racing, I suppose, but I don't. Let's just go... It's not right, but let's go with hat trick.
Hat trick is incorrect. Brian, can you steal?
Possibly. So I'm assuming this... Yeah, first, second, and third. Yes. Yeah. No. I'm going to go with this. So I went to Saratoga this past Sunday, and I won a trifecta, and I won a bunch of money, but then I spent it all while I was there. So I'm going to say trifecta.
Trifecta is correct.
I'll say if it's superfecta, I'm going to be pissed.
That's the trifecta right there. So yes, trifecta is the word I was looking for. All right, getting a steal, and now Kristen, don't let him get away with it. Don't let him run away with this one. You have got to get some points, more points on the board. And what are you going to hope he misses in so you can get it?
Oh, it's okay. I came in expecting to lose. And because I don't want it, I'm going to give him movies.
Okay.
And we finally have a 60s question.
In 1966, Michael Caine, I always have to say it that way, stars in the title role in what British comedy drama film? He's a charming Cockney lad, but also a heartless womanizer. Jude Law starred in a poorly received remake in 2004.
I really have no clue. Something with a Cockney accent. Mr. Crowley. How about Mr. Crowley?
Mr. Crowley. That's a good song, but it is not a movie that we're looking for. Kristen, can you steal this one?
No, but I know the movie. This is the problem. I don't do movies. Anybody who knows me knows movies are just a black hole. And I know this one, but I cannot for the life of me remember his name. It's like Wilford or Will. I feel like it starts with a W. Oh, I can see the stupid movie cover too. This is really annoying me. It's wrong, but I'm going to say Wilford because otherwise I'm just going to be here forever guessing incorrectly.
Wilford is incorrect. John, are you a fan of either Michael Caine or Jude Law?
I mean, I'm a fan of the actors. I've actually never seen this movie. I was pretty sure what it was, but the Jude Law clue sealed it for me. I'm pretty sure this is Alfie.
That's it.
Alfie is the movie I'm looking for. All right.
Yes.
All right. We've had, three straight questions with no points being awarded. Maybe that'll change. Brian, what category do you want to give to Kristen?
Let's give her television.
Okay.
It's the 50s.
Okay. Bullwinkle J. Moose and Rocky J. Squirrel were introduced in 1959. Both characters were given the middle initial J as a reference to their creator. What does the J in Bullwinkle J. Moose and Rocky J. Squirrel stand for? The Simpsons copied the idea for Homer in the 90s.
I have no idea. This is a definite super black hole. I mean, I've seen that show, but nope. No idea who created it.
All right, Brian, can you steal?
I think Homer's middle initials is just stands for J, J-A-Y, J.
The creator of Rocky and Bullwinkle is Jay Ward, J-A-Y. And that's why this comedic series, their middle initial just stands for J. It is J.
I want to correct something real quick, Adam. So yeah. The actual creator of Rocky and Bullwinkle, the cartoonist who created them, was Alex Anderson. But Jay Ward created the TV show.
The TV show. Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. With a steal, and now he could potentially get some more points. Kristen, do you want to give Brian music, news and politics, or toys and games, or food?
Let's give him music.
Okay.
It's the 60s.
Brian, have I told you how lucky you are?
Am I throwback lounge lucky?
Yeah, you are throwback lounge lucky, my man. We are taking a trip. And this time, I actually want the title of the song and not the group, okay? So I'm going to tell you, this is a song, I'm going to sing lyrics from a song by Alan Sherman, and it was released in 1963. And I need you to tell me the name of the song, and I'm going to throwback lounge, I'm going to lounge sing the lyrics. All the counselors hate the waiters, and the lake has alligators, and the head coach wants no sissies, so he reads us something from Ulysses. Hey!
What the hell? No, I'm gonna say Sleepaway Camp.
Sleepaway Camp is incorrect. Kristen, can you steal?
No.
Blunt to the point.
No. Nope, not at all.
All right, no guess?
Nope.
All right. Brian, you're not terribly far off. It is a song about a camp. Hello, Mada. Hello, Fada. Here we are at Camp Granada. It is. There's all the counselors hate the waiters, and the lake has alligators. So, yeah.
I didn't even know the name of that song, though. Okay. I know the rhyming scheme, and I always know the parodies.
Yep. Hello, Mudda had a fada, but Camp Granada's, I think, would have also been acceptable. So, all right, no points awarded, and I forgot where we're at, John.
I did too.
I think Brian's picking for Kristen, maybe.
Think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Let's give her food.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the 70s.
The 70s.
I'm going to pre-guess Aspic.
I'm the only one who knows what that is.
I have no idea what that is.
I'm the only one who knows. Jello thing.
Yeah, it's gelatin. It's basically gelatin, yeah.
Okay. What fast food burger was first introduced in 1971? But because other countries don't use the U.S. measurements, it's also known worldwide as the Royale with Cheese, Hamburger Royale, McRoyale, among other names.
It would really help if I
finally
knew Pulp Fiction, but I'm going to guess this is the Quarter Pounder with Cheese because that's the only one that's got metric or English units in it.
The Quarter Pounder or Quarter Pounder with Cheese, yes, is correct.
I've doubled my score. Sweet.
A not so subtle reference to Pulp Fiction in that in that question.
Royale with cheese.
Royale with cheese. All right. Kristen, you get to pick for Brian, and we still have toys and games and news and politics left. What do you want to give to him? What do you want to keep for yourself?
Well, that's a tough one. I'm going to give him toys and games. It was the first thing he selected, so it might be a bad idea, but...
I gave you food for the same thing.
It will be the 60s.
60s, okay. Tough. In 1965, Kenner introduced what toy seat that would be strapped to a father's back while he pretended to be a horse for his kid to ride?
What are you doing?
And it lasted 1 year.
I believe it.
I bet that sounds really dangerous.
It lasted 2 months. Can you repeat it again?
Mm-hmm. In 1965, Kenner introduced what toy seat that would be strapped to a father's back while he pretended to be a horse for his kid to ride, and it lasted 1 year. They only sold it for 1 year.
Let's call this Piggyback Daddy.
Piggyback Daddy is a fantastic name, but it is not the correct name.
I shouldn't be naming these things and not trying to guess. It should be a marketing. A great name.
Kristen, can you steal?
I mean, I've never heard of this, but it sounds like a saddle. So let's go with the daddy saddle, which sounds really awkward and possibly like a different toy altogether.
It does. Yeah, something that should be sold at Starship stores. The daddy saddle is correct.
Oh, my God.
Yep. That was a real thing.
Oh, my God.
And, Brian, you don't have to pick anything because we know what's going to be left. News and politics. News and politics for Kristen.
It's the 90s.
On March 30th, 1999, while seated in the front row of the inaugural ride of the Apollo's Chariot roller coaster at Busch Gardens, who was struck in the face by a goose, causing a laceration on his nose, needing 3 stitches?
This is one I have no idea. 99. Who was the president in 99? This is a sad statement that I don't remember. Let's go with George H.W. Bush. I've got no reason for that.
George H.W. Bush is incorrect. Brian, can you steal?
Yeah, I think George H.W. almost got hit with a shoe. Several, twice.
That was George W.
That was W.
Oh, wait, I had the wrong one. Sorry. The more spry one. This was the model. Fabio.
Fabio, and I'm thank glad he wasn't the president. But yes, Fabio was on the ride, and he came out with a bloody nose. And potentially, it wasn't the goose that hit him. Potentially, the goose hit a camera that then debris went and sliced his nose instead. That might have been what happened. But either way, the goose is dead, and Fabio did have to have a couple stitches.
Oh, wow. So,
Randy Johnson, that bird.
Yeah, I figured H.W. did like the skydiving and stuff. I was like, he's an adventurous dude.
All right. That is the end of round two. John, where are we?
All right, Kristen, I was so hoping you were going to get that last one because it was going to keep you from getting completely doubled up or pushed out, especially since you had that random knowledge of S&M gear. I'm not sure how you knew about that. Unfortunately, that last one kind of put the nail in the coffin. Brian has 90 to Kristen's 30.
Yes, that is correct. But you never know. Brian might want to be part of the
180
club.
You never know what'll happen.
I don't think that's a club.
See, I was tempted if I got to 100. Yes. I was like, if I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go for 200, but I can't now.
Can't now. I mean, you could. You never know. You could. So before you make your decisions, we need to know what two categories and decades are going to be in our final round. Brian, as you are in the lead, what category do you want in?
Toys,
okay.
And it will be the 70s.
Okay. And Kristen, what do you want to join?
Let's go food.
Okay. She got both those questions. It seems like a reasonable one. But did she know her food in the 60s?
Again, pre-guessing Aspic. That was also popular in the 60s.
All right, so we need the two of you to write down your wagers based on 70s toys and games and 60s food. And remember, there's absolutely nothing on the line.
This is a pretend game.
Yeah, it's all pretend points. And just give us an audio when you're good.
I've got something written down and circled.
No. All right, hold on. I'm ready now.
Math is hard.
Yes, math is hard. All right. We're going to start off in our 70s toys and games question. Kenner introduced a doll with what name? Known as the Man of a Thousand Faces, the set came with a makeup kit, a wig, glasses, and various different glue-on accessories. And most of the pieces kids could wear themselves to make disguises. How strange. And our 60s food question. What product was created in 1965 by a team of scientists at the University of Florida College of Medicine, following a request from the football head coach to help his athletes by acting as a replacement for body fluids lost during physical exertion? While our contestants are thinking about their answers, I just want to remind everybody out there, please go check out Podcasting After Dark. We do them all the time. Action, action. Yeah, action, action. If you like action movies, you definitely want to go check out the Action, Action podcast, where they are ranking every single action movie. They're having great discussions over there, and they are wonderful people. So make sure you go check out the Action, Action podcast. All right. Do either of you need a question reread?
The first one.
Yeah. Sure. Kenner introduced a doll with what name? Known as the Man of a Thousand Faces, the set came with a makeup kit, a wig, glasses, and various different glue-on accessories. And most of the pieces, kids could wear themselves to make disguises. How strange.
I'm sure that was a hint, and I have no idea what it meant, so that's all right.
No one can hear your thumbs up, Brian.
All set.
Okay. All right. Well, as you both seem a lot more comfortable, I'm going to start in the 60s. We start with persons, not with questions. Kristen, as you were behind, what were your two answers to our 60s food and our 70s toys and games question?
So for the food one, I'm 95% certain, as is everybody listening to this, that it was Gatorade. And for the toys, not knowing what How Strange was supposed to mean, I said Mr. Weird, because I really got nothing. So.
And Brian, what were your answers?
I got Gatorade for replacing your body fluids for food, but toys under Strange, and I was like, Dr. Strange? So I was like, Dr. Disguise?
This was a very tough one. Yes, it is. Gatorade was, of course, the 60s food. And Kristen, you wouldn't have gotten this one because the Strange is a hint to comics.
Yeah.
But it's not Doctor Strange. It's Hugo Strange.
Oh.
Hugo is the name of this toy and disguise kit and whatnot. It's very tough. That was a very tough question.
I get it, though.
Yeah. Hugo. I mean. All right. So that means neither contestant getting both questions correct. We need to know how far you guys are dropping down. Kristen, what did you wager?
I wagered 29.
All right. And Brian?
I wagered 10 points. I kept putting 90, 90. And I'm like, no, don't, no.
Don't
do anything. Do like 88. I was like, but 90 is such a good number.
Yep.
I just bet 10.
All right, John, do us some math and let us know who won.
All right. With the final score of 80-1, Brian is the winner today.
Terrible football score.
All right, that is the end of the game. That was a lot of fun, though. I hope you guys had fun. Kristen, it's your first time on the show. Particularly, I hope you had fun. Brian, I don't really care. But just kidding. I'm just kidding. We hope you guys both had a great time. But Brian, as you did win, we'll let you save your discussion for the last bit. Kristen, anything you want to say before we head out?
No, just support these guys because they are fun to listen to. And I kept meaning to support them for like a year before I finally sat down and actually did it, just because, you know, I usually think about it in the car or at the gym where I'm listening and not where I'm here. So thank you guys, and keep going.
Much appreciated. Brian, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, if you're ever in the Hartford area, check out Bar Arena Entertainment. We do trivia all over the place. Also, there's this great podcast called The Blast from Our Past. The hosts are mediocre, but the content's so good.
It is so good. But by the time this episode comes out, We're probably going to inform everybody out there that the Blast From Our Past podcast is ending at the end of this year.
Oh, the hosts having a fallout?
We can't stand each other. No. One of the hosts is getting his online master's degree, and it's taken a lot of time. He can't do three weekly podcasts anymore. He's cutting down to just one trivia podcast, and the other two are having to go the way of the dodo, or the way of the daddy saddle, if you will.
Master's degrees are hard. That's really good, though. Congratulations.
Yeah,
on doing that.
Don't check out B5. Well, you can. We're going to keep all the episodes up there. There's a lot of stuff you can still listen to. So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Kristen and Brian and John. I'm Adam. This is another episode of Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Thank you for listening to Throwback Trivia Takedown. If you want to support the podcast, or if you'd like to be a contestant, go to patreon.com/throwbacktriviatakedown and pick a tier that's right for you. If you want to submit questions, you can email them to throwbacktriviatakedown@gmail.com. Please rate and review us on your preferred podcast platform. We'll see you next time when two new contestants go head-to-head in nostalgic knowledge on Throwback Trivia Takedown.
Hello, everybody. I'm Adam.
I'm John.
And every week we are giving you a blast from our past.
We are the podcast that brings you full-on movie breakdowns, TV show reviews, album reviews, top tens, and more, all from the things of our nostalgic past.
So please join us every single week on the Blast From Our Past podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. However you listen to podcasts, you can find us, and we would love to have you take a trip with us to the land of nostalgia.